You're listening to This Is How We See It with your host, Eric Lee, the show where we say it like we see it.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Welcome to it. My name is Eric Lee, and in the studio with me is Miss C.
Well, hello.
And Minister Clinton Strowman is back with us.
Praise the Lord.
Welcome back, Minister Strowman. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Going good so far?
Going great.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. This show is going to be devoted to Donald Trump.
Oh, he'll love that.
Probably about 90% of the show will be devoted to him. Week before last, we witnessed the inauguration of our 45th president, some to cheers and some to fears. I think mostly probably fears. Everybody's kind of fearful about what this administration is going to do. The inauguration was on Friday, January 20th. And as I told everybody last week, I was not going to watch it, but I decided to because I thought, you know, maybe I might hear something that would maybe give me some hope,
you know,
he's going to be, a president for all people, no such thing. Not so much.
Did you see the people's face behind him?
Did you see Michelle Obama's face? Did you see Barack Obama's face?
Yes.
Michelle didn't come for it. Michelle was like, you know what? But it was mostly when he started talking about he basically insulted everybody on the stage.
Yeah, he did.
All the Congress,
all the
everybody.
Yes.
Everybody. He basically said,
you didn't do nothing.
You've basically done nothing over the last couple of years but serve your own interest. And it stops here today because we all know that Donald Trump is the savior of mankind. You know, he thinks he is.
Yeah, we don't know that. That's what he thinks.
Well, yeah, we know he's not, but he thinks that he's the savior. And probably his inner circle, too. You know, they probably
think so.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they're afraid of him. I don't think
you think they're afraid of him.
Yeah,
they
I think some of them are thinking right now. You know, this man's mind is really, really tore up.
A lot of people are saying that a lot of people won't confront him because of how he goes after people on social media.
Yeah.
So they're saying that a lot of these Republican senators and Republican congressmen won't publicly. Come against him on things because they're all afraid, because we all know what Donald Trump does to his enemies. He thinks anybody who disagrees with him is his enemy.
Yeah.
And that's, that's not true. Some of the news outlets had noticed that the attendance for his inauguration was lower than for Barack Obama's inauguration.
Yes.
They showed like a split screen, like they showed Barack's on the right and they showed Donald Trump's on the left. Now, you have to be Stevie Wonder to see,
to not see.
Right, to not see that Barack Obama clearly had way more people his inauguration than Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump took that personal. And he engaged in a war. I mean, a war with the press.
Yeah.
Talking about, y'all always try, you'll never give me credit for anything. You're going to always try to tear me down. And
then show the right aerials.
Oh, yeah. Well, Barack's picture was shown after, and you took my picture way before everybody got there, which is not true. He sent his White House press secretary, Sean Spicer, and, poor Sean Spicer. He took to the airwaves, and he disputed that Obama had way more people than Trump. Now, pictures are everywhere, right? And people clearly see. This is what Sean Spicer told the media. He said photos showing a larger crowd at Obama's 2009 inauguration were presented in such a way as to downplay the size of the crowd at Trump's inauguration. He declared that Trump had the largest, this is what he literally said, Trump had the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period. Clearly, you can see that that is not true. Mm-hmm. And then the stats from like the park services, even the Metro people said that the ridership, the amount of people that took the train down on the mall,
yeah,
was like 1.8 million compared to Donald Trump's ridership. Even those people are saying that is that's totally false.
Yeah,
totally false. But of course, he offered no evidence to back up the claim. You know, for some reason, I don't understand what it is, but Trump has this way of saying stuff, and it's like, don't you know we can
check it out?
Check that out. Like, like, why would you even say something so stupid when all we got to do is check? And that's why they kind of, you know, the pictures show that, you know, no, you're wrong.
Yeah,
you're absolutely wrong. And he said that it was what he was trying to say was it was. And then he said, oh, well, I was talking about TV also. So not only just in person at the inauguration, but TV, too. Well, that's a lie because they proved that that is not true.
Yes.
More people watched Obama's inauguration than Trump. Yeah. But here's my thing. The head of the National Park Service, who, you know, the National Mall, they take care of all that.
Yeah.
He said Trump personally called him. President Trump personally called the head of the National Park Service and told him, I need you to send me photos of both. Why do you all think, like, why is he so concerned with trivial things? Like, don't you have a country to run?
Yeah.
Don't you have bigger fish to fry than to be worried about who had more people at their inauguration?
Sort of like little teenage stuff.
That's what I said. It was like, you know, it's like little teenage middle school stuff that he's concerned about. Well, you said that about me. You know, it's like a back and forth. Like, why is it that he feels that he has to clap back every time somebody says something, you know, that doesn't agree with what he says? Why do you think that is?
I think maybe it's that God complex again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I think it's well, one thing we know is he ain't used to people just saying no. Then he usually try to be the best in whatever he in. The same way, like, he's talking about, well, Hillary Clinton got the popular vote, so now we're going to have a recount. Trump, you won.
That's what everybody.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I can see if you didn't win, you lost with just a few votes between the both of you, but you won.
It's ego. He has won so much in business. Because, I mean, he's a good bit shrewd business person.
Oh, yeah, and that he is.
Yeah, oh, he
you
definitely
know, so
is
everyone
that.
Gives him his props. Oh,
absolutely.
On that, you know.
Oh, yes.
But he's a nut.
But here's the thing. You can't run the country like your business. And see, that, I think, also is what's, and, you know, we'll talk more about that. But you can't run the country like that.
Right.
You can't run the country like Trump, you know, Trump, whatever his name is, Trump Incorporated, I think, or something that he's got. And it's his ego. It's like, you know, crowd size shows if I have more people, I'm better. I'm more well-liked. So I got to dispute when you say that I don't have as many people as Barack Obama, because to him, being a celebrity,
mm-hmm, he is.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
Everybody knows if you're on a TV show, the more people who watch your TV show, the more money you're bringing in, the bigger the star you are.
Right.
So I think that Donald Trump is just, you know, he has this thing about numbers. It's got to be big. If I do something, it's got to be big. It'll be terrific.
You think he runs his family like this?
Absolutely. I think he runs his family like that. I will say, though, I think that he has some pretty well-mannered children. I mean, they're grown, of course. But you know, I really do think if you look at Ivanka's a pretty smart, you know, girl. She seems to be down to earth, and she seems to have a good head on her shoulders. She even said, remember we were talking about this last week, that she tries to get him to stop tweeting stupid stuff and stop going on television saying stupid stuff. Melania, the wife, said the same thing. She said, but he doesn't listen. And I think probably...
I bet they won't say that anymore.
Well, they said it on TV.
Yeah, but they ain't going to say it no more.
Because they asked them, they asked Melania, they said, do you ever tell... She said, I let me get my Melania voice. I try to... try to tell Donald to stop on Twitter, but he will not listen. Well, yeah, I think I kind of believe that you just really don't tell Donald Trump, you know, not to do stuff. And he even said, I'm not giving up my personal Twitter. I'm going to tweet whatever I want to. I'm going to, you know, do whatever I want to. And it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. And we talked about this, Miss C, last week. What you say around your kitchen table, you don't just say it out right. In public places.
That's why you said around the kitchen table. Exactly. That's where it stays.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And any adult, any mature adult understands you just don't say what you want anyway. I was telling Miss C, I said, you know, people talking about political, people use political correctness to be rude and just say any old thing out their mouth. Yeah. I told Missy, I said, well, cuss your boss out. If you don't think that word that you can just say whatever it is you want to say to anybody, cuss your boss out the next time they make you mad. You'll see that words have consequences.
Yes.
And that's what I think that people, you know, people need to understand, that you just don't say everything.
Yeah.
Anybody in their right mind.
But you know what? There are some folks that say whatever come off the top of their head. And who, because they have been doing it so long, they think it's okay.
Who did I say were two people who do that? Who did I say last week? There are two groups of people who just say anything out of their mouth that comes into their head. Children and people with mental disabilities. Those are the two kind of people that just say any old thing out of their mouth.
True.
Isn't that right? True. Because, you know, children will say they, you know, they brutally honest. They don't know any better than, hey, you know, you don't yeah. say that, yeah. you know. But, and if you are adult, I think that you kind of have a mental disability just to say anything off the top of your head.
Well, how about an adult with a child's mind?
Exactly. Yeah. An adult with a child's mind really is kind of mental disability, yeah. really. But those are the only people that do that. Mm-hmm. Grown-ups, no, you can't just say any old thing off the top of your head that you want to. There are consequences. Vicky Yohe, you know who Vicky Yohe is, don't you? She is the latest one to reap the benefits of just saying what she wants to say. She posted a post on Facebook, and she basically said, Trump is our president. Get over it. Something about I'm gonna no weapon formed against him shall prosper. And it basically ain't nothing you can do about it. Then she tweets a photo of what's supposed to be Jesus, white man, of course, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and people say, well, why do you preference that? Well, Jesus was not white, nor was he black, mm-hmm. With suitcases. And under the caption, it said, I'm going back to the White House, as if he wasn't there when Obama was there.
Oh,
you know, Obama was such an infidel that, you know, he wasn't Christian. Yeah. So Jesus had to leave the White House when Obama was in it, but now he's coming back now that Trump is there. God. So, I mean, they ripped her to shreds. Oh, they ripped her to shreds so bad she had to go on the Mary Mary show Stop laughing. No, I don't mean to laugh. But she had to go on, what's the, Erica Campbell.
Yeah.
And apologize. She was crying and all. She was crying and all.
For just saying the last part.
For, yeah, about, for the whole thing.
For everything.
Yeah. And trying to say, like,
well, she didn't lie on everything. He is our president.
Well, yes, he is our president. But you don't say that Jesus left the White House when the Obamas
That's
came.
That's what I said. Apologize.
Well, yeah,
for the last part.
Yeah, that. There are a lot of people who kind of feel like she does about, you know, get over it and all that stuff. We don't have to, as you can clearly see. But we're going to take our first break. We will be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us. You are listening to This Is How We See It. Thanks for coming back with us. Joining us is a friend of the show, Sherelle.
Hello, Sherelle. Thank you.
Sherelle kind of stopped by the studio and I just kind of threw her on the air. She heard about what we were talking about. So she, you know, she was talking from the peanut gallery. So I had to, if you're going to talk, come on in and get on a mic. We were talking about before we went to break about not being able to just say any old thing you want to say out of your mouth. And understanding that, you know, or this, how about you can, but there are going to be consequences to the things that you say.
Right.
You know, and so you were saying, Sherelle, about what were you saying?
It's not, sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it, if it's perceived. Because somebody may say something one way and it's perceived a certain
exactly.
way, but then someone else say it and maybe explain it a different way. It comes across a little differently.
Right.
But even though you can say it, just because you think it don't mean you need to say it.
There's a way to say everything. And any mature adult should understand it. And see, Sherelle, you and I were talking about this earlier, about people that email. People don't understand right. that people can hear the tone of your voice in emails.
Oh, yeah. That is true. Yeah.
And people don't know that.
Some people don't.
Some people don't know that. I can hear you, your tone, because I can about kind of see your face by reading what you said as you were typing, you know, your message.
Right, because that's actually a serious topic. There's actually classes on email etiquette. Because
it's true.
Serious. Really? It can get you fired. Yes.
Do you know how many times I have gone quick to email something and then stop and erased what I wrote? Because when I read it over, I said, that kind of doesn't sound right. You know, but some people don't do that.
Right.
Some people just, and just send.
Well, that's when your mind come into play.
Well, that's, Minister Stroman, I wanted to bring you here, especially for this next thing I'm about to say. I want to talk about the evangelicals' part in all of this, you know, this Trump thing. Because they played a very big part in getting Trump elected. You guys know what evangelicals are, right? It's like the Christian, like it's like, you know, evangelical Christian group, you know. I remember when Obama was running his campaign and he ran on a message of hope, inclusion, togetherness, love. He always talked about let's all work together. And I was reading a story about this one particular famous evangelical TV host. He hosts a show. I'm not calling names because, you know, that's really kind of not my, you know, I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody. But he hosts a popular show with his wife. So I'm just going to leave it like that. And he said that Obama was the Antichrist. Remember when I called you up and asked you about that? And I'm thinking to myself now, here's this man who's, I'm not saying he's, you know, but what he's talking about is some of the stuff Christ talked about when he walked the earth. You call him the Antichrist. Now here's Trump with a message of division, misogyny, racism, mocking disabled people, and evangelicals said he was God's anointed.
Oh, my God.
That's what they actually said, that, and that's what they're saying even today, that he is God's anointed. So let's kind of break down anointed. First, maybe people don't understand what being anointed means. Anointed means really one sent by God is what anointed means. When you say somebody is anointed, that person is supposed to have been sent by God for the purpose of God, right?
But another thing, who is his God, though?
Well, he claims to be, doesn't he claim to be Christian?
Yes, he said
he think
was.
He claims to be, I think he claims to be Christian, you know, but then that word also is kind of, you know, spread around a little thin because just because you believe in God and just because you go to church on Sunday morning and sing in the choir does not make you a Christian.
Right.
But anointed means one sent by God. And here's what I believe, and I'll let you speak on that. If somebody is anointed by God, they are going to have the message of God in their mouth.
Right.
Am I right or wrong?
Right.
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 So has anybody heard a message of God out of Trump's mouth? No. Has anybody heard, you know, Christ teachings out of Trump's mouth?
Nope.
So how can he be God's anointed? And why are evangelicals pushing this?
Well, I believe, which I saw on the television, and I believe this. Anyway, it was this prophet named Clem Comet.
Mm-hmm.
And he prophesied that Trump would win.
I do. I remember him. I know him. I don't know him personally. Yeah. But yeah.
You know of him.
And he prophesied that Trump would win, and that he would be the savior of America, and like God had sent him to be the savior. So that's what a lot of people are going on, that prophecy. Uh-huh. Now, but I also heard a prophecy recently, before Trump got in the office, that Trump wouldn't win, and that he was just there so Hillary Clinton could get the votes. Now, this was a prophecy also. So now you got two prophecies. We're going to see which one comes true. Which we know that he won. So,
right.
So
right.
We know that second one not true.
Right.
But as far as him being the savior, I think he's the savior in his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the savior with his followers.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of things he's doing for his followers. He's keeping up the morale. Mm-hmm. So, like I'm saying, but as far as him being the savior or being the spokesman
or God's anointing,
I don't think he's that. But now you got to think about who are the people that's believing this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you got two sets of people. One set not believing that, but the other set is believing that.
Mm-hmm. Wholeheartedly.
They gun ho.
Yes.
And you can't tell them that.
Yes, they are. Yeah, you better not tell them differently because you might have to fight.
Right. So a lot of stuff that Donald Trump is doing, he's doing it to prove you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people think he ain't going to do nothing. So he going to do some things to prove you wrong. Then he going to do some things because he know that's what you like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So really, all the bills and stuff that he's been passing, everything he's been doing is to prove people wrong. Mm-hmm. And he know this going to make a certain amount of people happy, so he do that right there. Mm-hmm. So all the stuff that he doing is for his ego and for to make the certain people happy.
See, and this is why I say it's important for each and every one of us to have our own relationship with God.
And that's what I was just about to say. It's about your relationship.
It's very important because, and not just to follow someone blindly. You know, I think about Jim Jones when you know, I was, you know, kind of doing a little research for this.
Diana.
And I'm pretty sure people know Jim Jones was a preacher. He was an evangelist. He was quite popular.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was San Francisco. He was in San Francisco, yeah. I think it was. And somewhere people say he kind of got off. Mm-hmm. He had a big church.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very large congregation. And somewhere people say, well, not just people, but obviously mm-hmm. he became unhinged mm-hmm. Somewhere. And they were getting persecuted because I think the government looking into some of the things. And so he told his congregation, God told me to move to Guyana. He told me to pack up and move to Guyana.
Yeah.
And hundreds followed him.
Yeah.
And, you know, first of all, I love my pastor, Pastor Jimmy.
I do too.
Journey Church.
Mm-mm.
But if Pastor Jimmy got on that pulpit and talking about God told him to go to Guyana or someplace, here's what I would tell Pastor Jimmy. Okay, well, you go. You get a head start.
Right.
And then when I hear from God for me to go and follow you, then I will come. But don't look for me to go. Because first of all, it's like if you are on an island by yourself, who are you proclaiming the gospel to?
Mm.
That's the first thing that I would be thinking. Like, if we're secluded on this island and, you know, nobody coming in, nobody going out. See, that would be the first thing that would kind of mm-hmm. peek in my head like that's not the mission.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't tell us to go to an old island and be secluded. Who are you witnessing to on an island?
Yeah.
You're not witnessing to anybody on an island except the people that are there. Mm-hmm. And really, that's kind of preaching to the choir, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we all know what happened. He made them drink cyanide,
mm-hmm. yeah.
over half of them, and women, children, and men, and they died following somebody blindly. And so that's why I say, and, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible. I don't, you know, this is not a preaching show, but a lot of things in the Bible talks about the real Antichrist
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, who's going to point to, you know, hey, this is him, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a religious person. It's going to be, you know, so that's why I say don't follow anybody who, you know, listen, try the spirits. Try the spirits and see, you know, if you agree, you know, are they lining up with what the Bible says? Because I knew when they first said Trump was the anointed, I said, no. Huh? Who? Like who? Who anointed him when you're talking about the stuff that he and the campaign that he was saying? That's not God. God is not in stuff like that he's saying.
But I see that as something different now. That's deeper than that. I see that as you're worshiping. Like he said, you know, have no other God before me. So at that point when you're doing all that, and like when those people went and followed him and he poisoned them, at that point you were worshiping him.
That's what I mean.
At that point. So if you don't have a relationship with God, you will fall for anything. And like I would tell people, I understand you go to church to hear the word from the pastor, but you still got to go home and read the word for yourself.
Right.
And what he's telling you, look and see if it's in the Bible, because if it's not in there, something's wrong. You got to have your own relationship.
You have to know because when I heard about it, I was like, somebody is going. I don't know what God it is they're talking about, but I don't hear nothing godly in what this man is saying. Even from the campaign, I don't hear, I still don't hear anything godly
mm-mm.
from him at all. So, you know, people, you know, don't just follow anybody because somebody told you to. That's, you know, no, that'll get you in trouble. We got to take another break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us. Back. Thanks for coming back with us, continuing our discussion about Donald Trump. I keep hearing people say, stop whining, he's the president. Which, he is the president. He's the president. You know, he did not win the popular vote, but he won the electoral vote. So he is the president. You know, get behind him. Shut up. And all of this stuff, this protesting, is because y'all are sore losers. That's the only reason why you're bucking, you know, this president.
Yeah.
He can still get kicked out from being president.
He can if he does something treasonous. But you know what? It's kind of hard to get behind a president that's so divisive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting to me how people are coming saying, get behind him. But he's divided. This country is divided because of Donald Trump. Right. I mean, come on.
I mean, we've already divided. But
right. But he really came along and really sort of really drove a wedge in this country.
But if you think about it, all presidents that have been, you know, inaugurated or whatever, have you ever known anybody protest one getting into office?
No, that's what I'm saying. And we've had Democrat presidents and Republican
and
presidents.
And even when it was a shock when Obama was first ran and got it, the day after, didn't nobody do all this stuff they doing?
Because people weren't, even people that did not vote for Obama, they didn't feel like this.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't feel like, this feels like doomsday. I mean, this literally like feels like something is about to happen here.
Yeah.
But people didn't really feel like that under Obama, like they do under Trump.
No, when Trump became president, I felt like I had
Me
gone
too.
To a memorial service.
Me too. Me too. Trump ran his campaign on division. You know, lock Hillary up. Lock her up. I mean, have had people chanting.
Yeah, and that's the first thing I'm going to do when I become president.
I'm going to appoint somebody to look into the emails, and I'm going to lock her up. You know, throw illegals out of the country. You know, he's so divisive. He came in divisive.
But if you think about it, he was down on Hillary. Let's see your income tax, man. Since you want to lock somebody up,
and he said he would reveal. No, he said on his campaign he would reveal, and the reason that he couldn't then, now he's saying he's not. But he said during his campaign that he would, and the reason why he couldn't right then was because he was going through an audit.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were saying, "Well, that's a lie. You can still release your taxes even though you're going through an audit."
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump ain't going to really talking about people aren't concerned about my taxes.
Nobody but the
media. Millions of people are because every president has done it before him.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you don't have anything to hide, why won't you release your taxes?
And he talked about Barack not being born in this country.
He started that whole birth.
She's in the White House now. Mm. Is his wife born in this country?
No, she wasn't. And don't get me started on what Melania Trump was.
Well, we know that
before she married Donald Trump, because all you got to do is probably go to Pornhub and you will see pictures of, you know, she was a porn model before, you know, they say soft porn, hard porn is porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you showed your gonads and your goodies, you were in porn. That's porn.
But now you talking about his wife, which I'm not going to get into this, but his father. I rest my case. Only thing you got to do is just go back into the biography and study his father, and we'll find out a whole lot of things you didn't know.
Oh, wow.
What?
I don't know too much about daddy.
I'm curious now.
Yeah, I know
too
much about daddy.
Really?
About daddy.
Well, speaking to the mic, do, sir, and tell us about Daddy Trump. You know, no Daddy Trump?
Speak up into the mic till you get too hot.
So here's my question to you three. Is it time to stop protesting and get behind him?
Well, I wouldn't say get behind him, but there are a lot of things that we still can do, like go to your Senate about things, make sure you go to meetings. There's still lots of things that you can do because he can't pass everything. So you can still at least do your part. He doesn't have control over everything. So if you can at least still do your part, if you're not doing anything, you can't say anything.
Well, somebody have already stopped something that he did. What was he doing holding those people?
We'll talk about that later on. But, yeah, I saw a quote that said, and this is, you know, I believe this to be true. It said, wanting Trump to fail is like wanting a plane to crash that you're on. That makes sense.
Why? Because he's our president.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And if he fails, don't we fail?
Not if they hurry up and get him out of there.
Well, but I'm just saying, though, you know what I mean. Right. I mean, it's true, though. Wanting him to fail, it's like being on a plane and wanting it to crash. It affects all of us.
I don't think.
Sure does.
No.
But now, you think about, I can see what you're saying, but
right,
it's not going to really affect because they impeached Nixon.
They did.
And I was all right when it done.
They did. They did impeach Nixon.
Okay. But think about him being impeached. But look who the vice president is.
Well, but you know what? The Democrats are saying that Pence is better than Trump. Even though, you know, he's got his own things, too.
Yeah, but there's,
well, I'm just saying that they are not so scared of a Pence presidency as they are of a Trump presidency.
Okay, me, too.
Personally, and I'm going to say it. I've been honest. I've been praying for Trump, to be honest with you. I've been praying that God would lead and guide him in the best way to govern the country, because he is the president. Yeah, and barring impeachment or, God forbid, something else, he's going to be president for four years.
Right.
And so I've been kind of praying that, you know, Lord, okay, he need to be guided. He really does. I mean, this man has the nukes codes in his pocket. Did you know that the president carries the nuclear codes in his pocket everywhere he goes? He can hit that button from wherever he is in the world.
And see, that's what scares me, because this is a man that I would not trust with my life.
Well, that's what people are saying.
Well, you were saying that you were praying that God lead and guide him, which is true. But to me, this man got so much pride and so arrogant to me.
He wouldn't listen to God.
Do you think he would listen to God if God would lead him? Nah.
Well, and, you know, I go back to the scripture that he can turn the heart of the king.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's, you know, I think that's kind of what people, when they, you know, when they say that, I think that's kind of what they're trying to say is, you know, I've heard, you know, he might be in the White House, but God is on the throne. And that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
That is true.
And that's really why
when you pray for him, you really need to pray specifically for his heart and his mind.
That's right.
And you need to put that in your prayer.
That is right. Van Jones, who is the CNN commentator, I'd love me some Van Jones.
Me too.
He said this: we do need to give him a chance, but we don't have to give him a pass on everything.
Oh. Right.
That was a good statement.
Wasn't that good?
That was a good statement.
Van Jones is bad anyway. By the way.
He made me cry.
By the way, did you know that Van Jones is married to President Jimmy Carter's niece?
Hush.
Yeah.
Come on. I know he talks about his son all the time.
He is married to President Jimmy Carter's niece. They've been married for a while. Yep.
What?
Let me ask the three of you all this. What do you want to see from Trump? Like, what is it that you would like to see him do, you know?
I would like to see him get up out of the White House, okay? All right.
Amen.
But really, but what
just,
would you...
Just more respect. He's embarrassing. His speeches and stuff, he's arrogant. He's just embarrassing.
And it's all right to be arrogant if you know what you're talking about.
A little bit, because Barack was a little arrogant. Barack was a little arrogant, but it was...
confident and arrogant.
Mm. Yeah, but Barack was a little arrogant, but it wasn't... Yeah, but he wasn't narcissistic.
Okay.
He was just a little... He had a little air of arrogance about him, because he was smart. Mm-hmm. You know, he was confident. He knew he was a lawyer. He knew constitution law. You know, okay. So he had a little bit of, you know, because the stuff that he did, you know, Barack was like, look, I know constitutional law. Mm-hmm. I know what I can do and what I can't do. Mm-hmm. So y'all can sit down, take a seat, have several seats, because I know that what I'm doing, I can do. You know,
and they had a smart woman with him, too.
She has a law degree as well.
Mm-hmm. And she had a lot to do with the way he act, too.
Well,
I think that the love that they had between themselves showed out through America. Mm-hmm. And I think that the love that they had enabled him to show love for the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it gave a positive message to other races who don't see us in a positive, you know, light, that, hey, you know, Not all of us are, you know, drinking Richard's wine on the corners. Not every baby daddy, you know, is not taking care of their children. You know, everybody ain't a single mother. You know, I think that that's one of the reasons why we love them so much. And even Joe Scarborough, who is the head of Morning Joe, the show on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm. Joe and Mika.
Even Joe said Barack Obama is the only president that never had one scandal. He never had any scandal in the White House. There was nothing they could pin on him.
No.
Nothing at all.
Because Michelle didn't play.
Okay. Okay. What I want to see from him is I just want to be assured that he's going to be a president for all people. And because I don't really feel that way now. And I've never really got that feeling from really any Republican president, but him more so than anybody. I want him to stop tweeting, stop being so ignorant, and
you can forget
and
that.
Tweeting out everything and think before you not only speak, but before you do, you know, anything.
Yeah, you can forget that too.
You know, you know, he now some Democrats are praising some stuff that he did, like when he pulled out of the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is like a trade deal with 11 other countries. Mm-hmm. He says that he wants to renegotiate the deal to favor the U.S. more, because mm-hmm. he's saying right now, you know, we're getting a bad deal. We're fronting a lot of money, but we're not getting, you know, a good deal on the trade agreements, mm-hmm. which a lot of people are, you know, are saying that's a positive thing.
Yeah, he's a great businessman, yeah, so business we know
part.
That
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Exactly. But here's the thing. You want to renegotiate a deal, but most of your clothes are made over in Mexico. Mm-hmm. They're made over in China and Turkey.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talking about trade and want to bring stuff back to the U.S., not you know, here. For federal. How about you bring your stuff back first? Show us, you know, that you're going to bring Trump ties and Trump suits back here first. You know, that's what a lot of people are saying. You still got your stuff abroad and you're talking about trade. Now, in the same meeting that he when he pulled out of TPP, lawmakers are came out and said that he made this big thing about illegals voting. You know, he has signed an executive order to look into voter fraud because he said that 3 to 5 million illegal immigrants voted. And
yeah,
that's why Hillary got the popular vote.
Oh, my God.
See, this is what I'm saying. How come you won?
Yes. So sit down
and govern. I don't understand why he's so concerned about crowds and he really is concerned. He's obsessed with numbers.
Yeah, that's that three-letter word you said, yeah. That ego.
Yes. Ego. Yes, mm-hmm. It's ego. That's exactly what it is. Bernie Sanders said that we should all be concerned about this because what's going to happen is it's going to cause voter suppression. And Bernie Sanders is right. Because you think about it, if I already think that there's voting fraud, I'm going to have my people out there patrolling at the polls, you know, to try to, you know, make sure that, you know, illegals don't vote, which will probably suppress. Yeah, will suppress people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good point. Bernie Sanders says that that's what he's setting up. He's setting up voter suppression. See, you got to be careful with people because what a lot of people don't understand is that when you start setting a precedence for one group of people to be discriminated against, you open a door for, and see, people don't care about it now because, well, I'm not an illegal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's not affecting me.
Right.
So sure, Trump, go on and ban, you know, people. But what about when he comes down your aisle? What about, you know, because you've already let him in the door now.
Yeah.
Or not even him. What about the person who comes after him?
Yeah.
There's already precedence now for discrimination. There's already precedence now for that. That's why you have to be careful that you don't let that kind of stuff in.
Yeah. And what about when he was talking about people voted in different states and stuff, then come to find out that his daughter was registered in
talking about there were some people who are registered in two states. How about the daughter? And Steve Bannon, the security advisor, both of them are registered in two states.
But they were saying that if like you might have stayed in one state, then move to another. One of them is only active. You're not unless you did try to vote and stuff. What you need to do is call the people, the state that you're in now.
And I probably need to do that because I might still be registered in Maryland. I bet you anything I'm probably still registered.
Well, call even the though I've been gone for 7 years. Where you're staying now and let them know that, then they could delete that.
Yeah. We got to take another break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us. We are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Continuing our discussion. I told you it was going to be a Trump bonanza today. We've never talked about him for a whole show, but a lot going on with him. Recently, as I'm pretty sure you all know about this immigration thing, he signed executive order banning people from 7 Muslim countries for coming here to the U.S., and it has caused a firestorm. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are protesting at every single airport.
Yeah.
And now, here's the problem with that. I don't necessarily have a problem with him banning people who are undocumented. Mm-hmm. Because I think every country needs immigration. Mm-hmm. Every country needs an immigration policy. It's nobody should just be able to come in to a country, as one of my employees used to say, all willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. You know, just walk up in here anytime you want. Walk across the board. Hey, I'm U.S. I'm, you know, nobody should be able to do that. We can't go over to any other country and just go in without proper documentation.
Right.
So why should people come here and do it? I do not have a problem. But here is why people are really outraged. Because he banned people who were here legally with green cards and visas. See, that's what the outrage is. People that had left, like maybe they left and went home to visit or on vacation. They were detained. They're being detained at the airports right now because of his executive order.
Right.
And so that's why a federal judge just blocked his thing, because she's saying, are you crazy? These people went through your vetting process. You gave them a visa. You gave them a green card. How are you now not letting them back into the country that they just left?
Right.
So it's not that, you know, that people really kind of had a problem with him saying no papers, no entry. Because I have to be honest, I kind of agree with that. Mm-hmm. I really do, you know, agree. What do you guys think? I mean, you know, do you think that it's right of him to say no papers, no entry?
Yeah, I agree on that. But like you said, some of those people that are trying to come back have the papers and everything, the visas and all that are legit. A lot of those people that are coming back, trying to come back home, those people sold their homes over there, you know, sold their homes. They don't have anywhere to really stay over there, not unless they group up with some old family members or somebody that's there. Their home is here.
People that are, because, you know, a lot of refugees got visas. They got green cards to come here.
Yeah.
They're escaping. And so how are you banning? Now, here's something that I learned that I heard today that I'm like, okay. Out of the 7 countries, you know, it's more Muslim countries than 7. But how about this? He didn't ban anybody from coming in from the countries where he has businesses.
Oh, hush.
That's what, see, I'm just repeating what CNN said. Saudi Arabia. He didn't ban Saudi Arabians. And not only did he not ban them, but the ones that are, was responsible for 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia.
Really?
So this is what the people are saying. If you're talking about you want security, how come you didn't ban people from Saudi Arabia? Hmm. Those are the ones that are responsible for 9/11. But you didn't ban those people.
Did you see Canada said they would take them?
Canada, yeah. So it kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense that he banned, well, I ain't got no interest in y'all, so yeah, I'm banning y'all from coming over here. but I'm not going to ban the Muslim countries where I have business dealings in. Mm. This is what CNN report. So,
if you know he doing all this stuff, how is he still sitting down with his legs crossed in that White House? I mean,
you never
I
know what's
get
going
it.
On because I do know that that they are continuing the Russian investigation. Mm-hmm. They are continuing
so
that.
Why do they allow him in until the investigation?
Well, because
over?
you got to let the process go through. I mean, you know, that,
and he can't
until,
be impeached until he took
exactly.
Office,
he can't
right?
be impeached until he took office right. anyway. Which a lot of people are saying that now he's president, he's going to stop that investigation. He said he
Can
wasn't.
Can he?
He's the president.
Okay.
They don't work for Barack Obama no more.
Okay, what about the girl that's supposed to have been suing him?
Oh, right. He probably settled that out of court. They yeah, he probably that. Gave her really? $3 or $4 million
that's
and told
all.
Her to shut up.
Oh, she could have got more than that.
Told her to shut up. But I found that to be interesting. I didn't even think about that because, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not a political commentator, but they said it's just quite interesting how you didn't ban nobody from the places where you got business business dealings. So so if you really want it to be, you know, if you're really about security, mm-hmm. why didn't you ban all Muslim countries? If it's about that.
I think that most of the stuff that President Trump do is because that of that popular vote. That goes back to that popular vote. If I can do enough nice things, y'all like me better. That's what it is. All that got to do with trying to prove the people wrong, and he want to be the best he can be. But believe me, he still got something in his mind.
Yeah, he do.
But like I'm saying, once a president, after staying off about 2 or 3 years or so, then you know what you got.
Mm-hmm.
All of them starts off good. They're like a new broom. If I buy a new broom, it sweeps right good. give it 6 months. Get that same
the
broom
straw out. Falling out.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. So he gonna do a lot of things because of that popular vote.
And I believe that because I believe that what he's doing is he's playing to his base. He knew that that and again, I don't think everybody that voted for Trump is a racist. I just don't believe it. I believe that there are a lot of ones that were racist, but I don't believe that everybody that voted for him was a racist. And
do you
I
believe he is?
I do not believe Trump is a racist. Okay. I believe that Trump knew what the people wanted to hear, and he knew that the racist people were going to vote him in. So, of course, I'm going to talk to you because I want to be president.
That's what I believe.
I don't necessarily believe what you talking about, but I want to be president, so I'm going to cater to you. And I think that, but to me, he's doing too much too fast. You got 4 years.
Yeah. And how was he doing things and Barack was still president?
Well, because he was president-elect. He could still get his stuff in order, but, you know, he was taking the reins, so he just started, you know, kind of early. That's just all that was. Because Barack was going out, he was out, and so Trump knew he was coming in, so he was doing a lot of things. Rahm Emanuel, who was the mayor of Chicago, he used to work for Barack Obama. He used to be the press secretary for, chief of staff, White House chief of staff for Obama. He left to go run Chicago. You know, Barack is from Chicago. Mm-hmm. He's not a Trump supporter at all. Now, we all know that Chicago has a problem with violence. I mean, people get, or I think it's been 267 shootings since January 1st, 43 deaths. Whoa. And it ain't even the end of January yet. Mm-hmm. So it is obvious that Chicago has an issue going on. So Rahm Emanuel, you know, says this president's crazy. I don't want nothing to do with him. So, of course, in Trump fashion, he goes at him on Twitter and basically says, you need to be worried about Chicago instead of worried about me. This is basically what he said. You need to clean up your city and stop, worrying about me. So what he did was he tweeted, not too wrong, but everybody know who he was talking about, that if he didn't do something about the crime happening in Chicago, he, Trump, would send in federal troops. Now, how this normally works is the governor of a state asks the president to send in troops. Mm-hmm. No president has just right. Well, I'm not going to say none, but most of the time it happens that way. But he told him, if you don't get it together, I'm going to send in the troops. Mm-hmm. And Whoopi Goldberg, she said something that made so much sense. She said, don't that sound like martial law? Doesn't that sound like martial law? The president imposing his troops in your state when the governor has not asked you for it? Does that? This is why I say, y'all got to wake up. You got to be careful about this, because Trump is smart. And what he's doing is he's setting up precedences. He's opening the door little, but he's opening the door. And see, right now, again, everybody's ha ha ha, you know, nobody's really kind of paying attention to it all that much. But this man is setting precedents to do stuff. Well, I sent in the troops in Illinois. Nobody said nothing. So I'm gonna, now you go against me, California, I'm gonna send my troops into you. I don't like you, North Carolina, anymore, so I'm going to send my troops into you. It's opening doors for stuff. And see, people don't care about it because it's not affecting them yet. Yeah. Today, Muslim ban. Tomorrow, who? Yeah, and people are okay with it because, again, I'm not a Muslim. So why should I care that he banned Muslim? But when he comes down, I remember my pastor used to say, wait a minute, I'm coming down your aisle later. I'm right here on this aisle right here, but I'm coming down. You wait, I'm coming down yours. You get a turn. Exactly. And so that's what, you know, that's what I'm saying. You got to be careful when you allow people to do stuff like this, because once you show precedence, once he can say, well, y'all didn't say nothing when I banned the Muslims. So now I'm a ban people from Africa. I mean, you know, I'm a ban Irish people. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. But you already has that precedence now. And so now you're sending in the troops to Illinois without the governor asking you. You're setting up some stuff. You are setting up some stuff. And, you know, a lot of people talk about, and I keep going back to, you know, again, this is not a religious show, but you think about, a lot of people said that during, you know, the Antichrist time, and I'm not saying at all that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. So listeners, please, 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 I'm not saying that Donald Trump is the Antichrist, but I'm just saying it's going to be some martial, you know, it's going to be some martial law, because, you know, anybody who's not going for the Antichrist, you're going to be put in jail. And who's going to enforce that? It's got to be the government. It's got to be the troops and stuff. So again, I'm not saying that Donald Trump is the Antichrist, but I'm just saying when you set up precedents, you have to be careful, because, you know, you've already started it.
Ooh, you done got me scared.
You've already opened the door.
Coming to get me.
Yeah, but we ain't going to say that he the Antichrist, but we know he not. But like you were saying, he opening up the door.
Yes.
So when the Antichrist do come, it's already
set. It's easy. The system is already in place. Exactly.
Like you said, wake up. Always remember what a person do is the reason why they do what they do. Same way with President Trump. He doing something now because later on he got the whammy.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. I believe it. I really, and that's why people are so scared about this administration. Y'all know this is unprecedented. Unprecedented. We have never seen anything like this before.
That's why it ain't gonna last too long. Don't worry.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, you know, he might be out, but that precedence is still there. He might be out, but that door is already ajar. So the next one behind him can come in and say, well, this door's open. Let me kick it open a little bit more until it's wide open.
Right. That's the same way with, I might go to a door, like you were saying, and I might crack the door, but I change my mind. I'm not going in. I'm leaving. Somebody that comes to the door is already cracked.
That's right.
They just open it up.
There you go.
And go in.
There you go. That's true. That's true. Well, that is all the time we have for today. I want to thank Miss C, Minister Strowman, and Sherelle for being my guests today. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.